The serious side of the J. Ryle Show is coming up next, right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio at its best.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network. Network.
WWE Superstar Big Show here to tell you, if you've been drinking, get a ride. Take a cab. Find another safe way to get home. Cops all across the country are cracking down on drunk driving. They will see you before you see them. Drive sober or get pulled over.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sallow right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make you do what I do, baby.
Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Ryle Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network. Network.
To be a good father is the most important job in a man's life. But it doesn't have to be hard. Play catch. Go to a park or visit a zoo. Help your child with their homework. Sit down together for dinner. Ask them how their day was. Things get busy, and sometimes we all fall short. But the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today.
This week on The Serious Side.
I think, you know, the Republicans would have to win six, a net six, to win. And I, you know, I think the odds are that Democrats will hang on in the, now, as far as the House goes. You know, I think the odds are that the Republicans will retain control of the House.
Got it. Okay. All right, so Lena, what do you think about all that?
I think that this is actually something that, sure, we're not calling for a march on Washington, but it's not funny. You know, this president has received more threats than any president in American history, and I think it's interesting that you compare it to Abraham Lincoln. I mean, are you sure you want to do that? I don't think so. So this president is hated by many in this country, and why would we want to encourage violence
so,
towards
Zerlina,
this president?
You don't see the humor in this, then?
I don't see the humor in it. You know, certainly it's not something that we need to be protesting in the streets about, but I think that you can have a joke that is in much better taste. This man has a family. He has children. We don't want to be encouraging violence towards this president that is already receiving 400% more threats.
They're most afraid that they're a fraud. They've never felt like they fit in. I mean, think of this with the president, and let's be kind to him. He didn't grow up here. He's never fit in. Why is he golfing? He sucks at golf.
Good morning and welcome to the serious side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jams Jazz Cafe, right here on the TJRS Radio Network. Good Sunday morning to you folks. Today is August 18th, 2013, and you're listening to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network. Online radio at its best. I'm J. Ryle. And of course, I never share the stage by myself. Let me introduce you to some of the key players. First up, she is the host of the True Purpose Development Show. She's the author of the book Pregnant in the Spirit. She's a radio and TV personality out of Detroit, Michigan. Let's say good morning to the one and only Dr. Princess Aldea. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
I am doing well. Good morning, Jay. Good morning, everyone.
Next up, he's the man who runs everything around here, the man who gets the first and last word on the serious side. Let's say good morning to the one and only Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, Dr. O'Day. How are you this morning?
I'm well. Thank you. Good morning.
Appreciate you guys hanging in with us. Once again, that call-in number is 347-850-1272. You can participate in the conversation. Jerome Esprit, our political strategist, will be joining us momentarily. But you know how we do. Until he gets here, we get the party started, and we have a great conversation for you, so let's get right into it. 2014 is right around the corner. And a lot of the things that have been going on right now in our government has, you know, been because of the fact that we have gridlock. You know, I know that we'd like to have a two-party system, but the bottom line is nothing's getting done. Well, with the 2014 elections around the corner, this is a good opportunity for Democrats to retake the House. So the question on the table, and I'll start with you, Ms. Elias, can the Democrats retake the House in 2014?
Yeah, I think so, man, because people are actually sick of a gridlock, man. You know, I understand that. And a lot of people are informed about what's going on right now, man. And right now, man, the country's in bad shape as far as jobs go. I mean, the job rates are improving even despite what's going on in D.C. But, you know, people are tired of it, man. People are ready for the gridlock to end. People are, you know, you need to work across party lines, which is this Congress is just what it is, a do-nothing Congress. So at this point in time, I do believe that people have seen what this is going on, what's going on, and they'll face reality that this is do-nothing Congress. Let's get rid of some of these people out of the place and put the right people in place.
Well, you know, you have a Congress, Dr. Prince's ordeal, with a 17% approval rating, but the bottom line is, and we talked about this last week, is that even though Congress as a whole is unpopular, but individual Congress people in their districts are very high. Our approval ratings are very high, especially in those Republican districts. That being said, do you think the Republicans can take over the House? Well, the Democrats can take over the House in 2014.
I think that it's all a possibility that they can. But I think that we're going to have to be the voters. We're going to have to really look at our individual congressmen through a different viewpoint, and that is one that impacts the people as we look at the president. When we select our president, we're thinking about what is he going to do for the United States. And I think that it's important for us as voters to be very educated in regards to what the situation has been, like Mr. Elliott said, this gridlock that we've had. They're shooting down everything. As a whole, the Republican Party, they've really not done us as a people of the United States any justice. Thus, we have to consider our voting from a broader perspective than what we have in the past. I think that's key here. If not, then we're going to deal with the same situation, because apparently people are really loving their own Congress as they represent their individual district, but it's not good for us as a people, all of us in the United States. So they don't take it from a different perspective, we can end up in the same boat again, and we'll say, how did that happen? You know, but we have to look at it differently.
Well, you guys are very optimistic because, you know, if you listen to David Axelrod, the president's former campaign advisor, he thinks that the Republicans are going to keep the seat. Matter of fact, he's saying that because of all the retirements in certain areas across the country, that it'd be very difficult for the Democrats to take over the House. Now, they think that the Democrats will maintain the Senate, but the House is something completely different. That being said, do you still think, Mr. Elias, that there's a possibility? Because he's saying, look, I don't think it can happen. I just don't think it can happen based on the numbers.
Well, you know, Jay, let me explain. Since I work with a guy, man, that was a stout Republican, man. It's, you know, no matter what, he was a Republican. And in 08, when the bubble burst, he was always talked about how the Democrats wanted to get free health care. And why would we want to vote for somebody who wants to do something like that? Well, when he lost his job and he realized how tough it was out here, and he had to pay for health care, like he had it out of his pocket, like, you know, like just the COBRA deal, you know, he's a star Democrat right now and believes in free health care. He believes in everything. Look, man, the lack of jobs, the lack of money will resort to anybody. You know, if you don't have things right there in front of you, like the job issue, which is a big thing, man. The job bills, the infrastructure is going down, it's going to waste, it's in bad shape. All these things play a big factor in everybody's lives, man. And if you don't have them in place, guess what happens? You start looking to your Congress and your senators and say, hey, man, what are you guys going to do about this? And if they're doing nothing, I'm going to find a way to get you out of there.
Yeah, but you're talking about one individual. You know, we had this conversation a little bit last week about the low information voter. You know, bottom line is that, you know, for a fact, here's an example. You know, Obamacare is actually dropping the total cost of health care right now. No one's talking about that. And so, you know, we get into this conversation about, okay, you know, from a messaging standpoint, has the White House done a good job at that? Because, you know, there are a lot of good things about Obamacare that, you know, people are starting to feel the effects of those, but once again, if they step into a voting booth, Dr. Princess Odia, they'll still, if they're a hardcore Republican, they're still going to pull that latch that says GOP.
And you're right. You're right about that. I mean, just like I said, I mean, I don't want to be repetitive, but it is what it is at this point. And I don't know if you misunderstood what I was saying before. I'm saying that if the voter does not take a different look at the way they are electing, re-electing their Congress and their districts, with the understanding that when they do that, it puts them in the house seat. If they don't look at it from a different viewpoint, then they're going to still vote for their Congress.
Yeah, but how do we do that?
We could say that, but how
does that happen? I mean, we could sit here and say, if I coulda, woulda, shoulda, but the bottom line is that this continues to go down. I mean, you know, so we sit here and we talk about a 17% approval rating for Congress, but yet still people will still run out and vote for the very people who are responsible for this stalemate in Congress.
But this is what I'm saying, because of the way, we talked about it last week, they are voting for the people who they like, the ones that have been running in their district, and apparently for their districts that they are representing in their individual states, there seems to be some satisfaction, obviously, okay? So yeah, they're going to keep voting for them, but we don't really talk about the fact, we don't bring it out to say, well, when you vote for them, you're voting for them and how they represent everyone throughout the United States. And maybe if we look at it from that point and have a separate voting, maybe the system would just have to change. And it's not changing. So the likelihood that they would be, the same people would be in Congress again, that's a high, high, high probability. But when you ask me, is there a possibility that the Democrats could take over? Yeah. It's a very slim possibility, but it is all possible. But it's going to take some changing. It's going to take some changing in the way we view things, in the way we vote for Congress. And do we see that happening around the corner? No, we don't. But it is a possibility, but it's a very small possibility, and it's a higher probability that we'll end up with the same folks in the office again.
Yeah, but you're saying we changed the way we vote for Congress. What does that mean?
I said if we did.
But what does that mean? If we change. I'm trying to figure out what's the change.
Maybe
what do you mean
needs
change
to be
the
a
way?
Separate vote. Maybe there needs to be a separate voting system. Right now, it's like
what?
You get, well, if they win for their individual states and districts, that puts them on the House seat. They're in there already. So maybe that needs to change. That's what I'm saying. When we're voting for Congress, we vote for them separately, and just because you won in your city or your state, your district and your state, doesn't mean that you automatically get a seat in the House. Maybe that needs to happen. No, it does need to happen, because we're going to keep on with the same situation. It's a higher probability of that.
Okay. It's 14 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show. 347-850-1272 is our call-in number, 347-850-1272. You can participate in the conversation. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call in. We're talking about, can the GOP, or can the Democrats, I should say, take control of the House in 2014? Mr. Elias, I don't think it can happen, but we all know that the 2014 elections, you know, anytime you have midterm elections, it's hard to get the people out. Folks don't come out to vote. That's just a fact. So, you know, so the million-dollar question is that the president has this new group that's out there, you know, and his intent, because his legacy depends on this. It's all about legacy building for the president at this point. He has his new group out there that's really trying to get out here and get the vote out in 2014. Do you think, with, you know, the Obama machine behind the 2014 elections, that the Democrats can really be competitive, and we can get maybe an all-Democratic, you know, all three parties, I mean, all three branches of government can be Democratic, like it was when the president first stepped into the Oval Office?
Well, you know, even if we do get it all Democrat, will they be blue dog Democrats, is my
That's
question.
True.
So,
that's true.
You know, so, you know, you can have all Democratic part, all Democratic House, health, everything, but you need to really get rid of the blue dog Democrats, because what's the difference between a blue dog Democrat and a Republican? There's really not much difference in it. So, you know, I see where you're going with this, but even the stout, you know, we talk about what they're not talking about. Even the stout Republicans where I work at realize that our health care, like with our health care, the union tells us tells the company per person it costs $20,000 a year to insure every union member. Well, with Obama health care, everybody knows that the prices went from $20,000 to $9,000. Well, now everybody wants to know, where is this $11,000 going? You know, so people are informed of it. It's just what they're going to do with that information. And like I said, usually when people are hurting and times are hard and jobs are hard to find and the infrastructure is falling down around you, they don't look for that Congress to say, what are you guys going to do for us? What are you doing for us? Why aren't you doing this for us? I do believe that in my heart, man, that they will look and see that there's nothing been done.
Okay. Let's bring our political strategist in the house, Jerome Esprit from EspritRadio.net. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning, folks. How you doing?
Doing great, man. We're in the middle of one of these conversations, Jerome. We're talking about the possibility of the Democrats taking the House back in 2014. Your thoughts?
I don't know. I mean, I think it'll be easy for the Democrats to take the House back. Yeah, I think it'll be easy. But here's the problem with ease. When the climate is yours, you get arrogant, and it's the only way Republicans win is when you put crazy Democrats up, right? So I never thought the Democrats would take the White House back until President Obama ran, because they were doing the same thing that they've always done, you know, nominating people like Mike Dukakis and those guys, and they're not really good national candidates. So what's going on is that with President Obama, when he ran, he brought so many people into the fold of national politics and even local, that the turnout numbers have been great. But once he's not running anymore, the Democrats are going to have to hold their own. That is President Obama's coalition that is winning. It is not the Democrats. And as dysfunctional as the Republicans are, I mean in a bad way, as dysfunctional as they are, they count on the fact that people won't come out to vote. Now, you won't have a reason to come out to vote as a Democrat unless you had good Democratic candidates. But again, the Democrats in-house, like the party and the nomination committees, even the local ones, their arrogance sometimes sink them, because they're conservative and crazy too. So Elias is right. When you talk about the blue dog Democrats, you're talking about people thinking, oh yeah, we got them, so here's what we're going to do. And that, it never works out that way. That's why the Republicans normally win. It's not because they have good numbers. Is because if you can split the Democratic vote and disenfranchise the rest of the Democrats, people won't come out to vote. There's no guarantee that that will happen, depending on who's running. But as long as the president's there, he can still rile up enough people, I think, to actually bring those numbers to your local races. But the Democrats are going to be in trouble unless they change their paradigm. Again, which they did not do. It was the president that changed it for them because everybody thought Hillary was going to be their one. You know, I'm sure you remember those conversations.
I do remember those conversations. Yeah. But, yeah, that's something that I brought up, Jerome, earlier in the conversation, the fact that, you know, the president is in legacy-building mode right about now. And that's why I think, you know, they formed that pact to get out here and really try to change the outcome of the midterm elections. But, you know, we had a – you know, our lead-in was David Axelrod, and he was talking about that he didn't think that the Democrats could take the House back because of some of the retirements that are taking place. He said really all the Republicans had to do was win really six seats and they would – you know, they would retain the House. So, you know, bottom line is I'm not sure if the Democrats can, but, you know, the president is in legacy-building mode. Don't you agree?
Well, yes and no. He's always in legacy-building mode. He made history for the first 2 years that he was there. So all of the really, really big milestones that he's made in his presidency came early, and he had to smooth them out. Now, David Axelrod is wrong, but David Axelrod, as an analyst now, is kind of just doing outside assessment. Like, that's kind of what he does. So, you know, those guys are playing one side or the other. Maybe he's saying that to get people riled up on the Democratic side. Maybe he's doing that to create some kind of interest. But I don't think that his assessment is correct. I think he's a very smart person, though. I mean, I don't even put anything other than that, but I do the same thing. So the issue is I think that David Axelrod is being an analysis. Every time I've seen him on TV, I thought he was just crazy.
Really?
Ever since he got out of the administration, David Axelrod's perception or perspective has always been kind of shaky to me. So what happens is that when you have strategists generally in campaigns or even advisors, they're one of many. And so even your crazy outliers in some areas are smart in others, but that don't mean that they're smart in all of them across the board. So, you know, David Axelrod is genius in running political campaigns, though. I mean, if you talk about even the black senators that's won, David Axelrod has probably half of the major candidates that's run in Senate races, and there's only been one in presidential, in some mayor's races, David Axelrod has been there. He actually understands how white folks see black folks, so he can actually tell black people how to run to white constituents. He's very good at that. I don't know how good he is at an assessment of anything else. Doesn't seem to be that impressive on everything else, but he's really good at running campaigns.
You know, Dr. Prince's idea, you know, we talked about longevity, and we even last week talked a little bit about term limits. And, you know, I still think that there should be some type of term limits when it comes to congresspeople, because I think that once they get in here, get in office, you know, bottom line is that if they're very popular in their districts, they're going to continue to do what they do. Like Ted Cruz is an idiot, and Ted Cruz is going to win re-election because people look at Ted Cruz as some no-nonsense guy. And what they're not understanding is that he and some of these other guys are hell-bent on shutting down the U.S. government. And we think that's a great thing. But when I say we as Americans, some Americans at least, think that's a great thing. He's really doing his job. But as long as you have these Looney Tunes in office and you have these people who really and truly are what I call low-information voters, we're going to continue to have this gridlock in Washington. Do you agree or do you have another assessment?
No, I agree. With that, like you, I don't know. Last week, I think, well, when we talked about having the term limits and all of this, I just feel that if it's working, it's working. You know,
that's the point.
I understand that in this scenario, that is not working. But when you ask the question, should there be term limits? That causes for a whole dynamic to be changed in the system and the way in the way we are electing our Congress, et cetera. I'm saying, I mean, I think as long as they are doing what they need to do, I think it's okay. They can continue. But they're not in this case. So, yes, we need a new office. And, yes, we would hope that whether it's Democrat or whomever, that we would have, we would be able to make good choices as it pertains to our election of Congress. So, I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
term limits,
said,
I'm not bent on that.
Well, but a few minutes ago you talked about changing the system to vote.
I mean,
if you're going to be an advocate of changing the voting system, then why would you not be an advocate of term limits? I mean, aren't you really basically saying the same thing? I mean, I'm not sure where you're going.
Not at all. Because what I'm saying is the way we elect them, just because we were talking about, for example, Congressman Conyers. Congressman Conyers, he's been in office for generations, for God's sake. And, you know, some people, to elect him, again, we elect him here because he's doing well for the district here. Does that automatically say he serves the people of the United States in the same manner? I think he does, but maybe some people don't think so. You know what I mean? We don't know. I mean, you know, well, only a person who is following that particular Congress can say so. I think he does well overall. But in the current system, because we elect him how we elect him locally, he is also representing the United States in that same manner. So what I'm saying is maybe we should consider separating that process. You know, that would be a great consideration, I think. That has nothing to do with term limits. I'm not talking about term limits. I mean, you're saying implement something that would say, okay, they have, you know, like the president, they have 8 years, they have whatever. I figure I could care less. If they're doing well, I think we should be free to reelect and reelect and reelect until it's broken and it needs to be fixed. That's just me. I feel the same way as far as for president. I mean, hey, you know, if they're doing well, why couldn't we elect the same president another term? What if we get on the ballot the next time? I mean, it's like just the less of all evils. You know, who knows? I mean, I think that we should be able to, you know, they can stay in office as long as they're doing well. That's my opinion. So,
yeah.
And I think those are two different things I'm talking about.
All right. All right, so let's wrap this set up. All right, let me go to you on this one, Ms. Elias. All right, I'm not sure if you're in favor of term limits, but maybe you're not. So, okay, what is critical for people to do? If we want to change what's going on in Washington 2014, if you had to give a word to advice to those undecided listeners, what would be your sales pitch to get them to the polls and vote vote for the Democratic Party in 2014?
Pay attention to your congressmen, your senators, what they're doing. Pay attention to how they vote. We got the worldwide information out there, the internet, man, that will tell you how these people vote. And if they're not voting for the things that you want or the interest that you want that you have in your districts, then get them out. Pay attention.
Okay.
This is what I...
All right. Dr. Princess Odilia, give me your thoughts on this. I want to give Jerome the last word on this.
Well, I've just said it clearly. I think that as far as term limits, I think that it's not necessary. Yet that's not so much as necessary as we should take a look at how our Congress are benefiting the people as a whole throughout the United States beyond the local situation.
Okay. Jerome, last word, brother. What say you?
Yeah, I don't really agree with term limits because I think you're still recycling the crazy folk, right? And later on I'll tell you why I say that. But generally that you have this ideology that is getting more extreme in the Republican Party. And even if you get the sane people out for term limits, it seems like the older people in the Republican Party are pretty much the smarter ones. It is the new guys that's coming in that are just crazier. So I think on their side, term limits will actually kind of take this country in a different direction. And by default, in anybody's city, and I always say this, especially when you're minorities, you can only cycle through so many sane people. And I just want to tell you that. You keep doing term limits if you want to, but you won't have anything by the time you get into the fourth and fifth iteration of any, whether it's a board, whether it's in politics. You know, some boards have, you know, you have to roll off after 2 or 3 years. what happens is that the organization totally turns into a different direction based on the people who have an agenda for joining your organization. It may not even go in the direction of its mission if you roll through too many people. So I'm not really big on term limits per se, but government, just fundamentally, federal government was meant to be slow and tedious to begin with. And it was just because those guys believed that any legislation worth its salt would actually make it through it, but it needed rigorous debate. And that's why it was created that way. It was created for gridlock. So that was very intentional by the guys who set up the structure. But, you know, saying all of that to say that doesn't mean those guys should be, you know, incompetent or anything. But we need to be careful about just blanket statements of term limits, think we can, you know, just tear it up and it'll be fine. So the Republicans, especially like the Cruz guy, those guys are idiots. And I don't know what else to say about that. Like, you, if you're listening to them, it's like people who watch Fox News. I hear people quote Fox all day, every day. And if you know that they're lying, why are you watching something that you know they're trying to give you an impression? Once we get smarter and start turning off garbage, then you'll start to see the world a little bit differently.
But I guess the question here, just to push it, just one more point here. When you say, you know, if they know they're lying, I think the point, Jerome, is that they don't know. And I think they buy into that propaganda. I think that's the reason why. Now, you know, sane people like us, you know, I don't watch Fox. I mean, every now and then I may cruise by and take a look at the channel. But for the most part, you know, I know it's a bunch of nonsense. But there are people who are bought into that stuff hook, line, and sinker. So I don't know if it's a situation where they think they're lying. And I think they think that Fox News is telling the truth. That's why they continue to listen to that nonsense.
Right, and a part of it being nonsense is this. I mean, I was a couple of years ago, I was on a cruise ship in the Gulf of Mexico, and they had Fox International on. Fox News is broadcast across the planet, and it's a part of, you know, going into, like, some faraway place or going into a Starbucks or whatever. I don't mean to throw Starbucks out there. I don't know if they show news. But going into some restaurant, seeing Fox News on. You have a lot of conservatives that are running and owning businesses that show Fox News. And so people are programmed without knowing that they're being programmed. But all I'm saying is that when you know, then you have to say, this is garbage. I need to not watch this or turn a station. That's all I'm saying. It's like you don't have to know that you're being programmed, but you do need to know what garbage is. So it is our job kind of in media sometimes to actually highlight garbage. I mean, so I don't know, you know, there's a lot of things that get a lot of attention in radio, in the radio world and on television that we know is garbage and a lot of people follow it. But you got to remember, the country is pretty much, the United States is pretty much country, right? It's rural. So when you talk about the impressions of everybody else, we're not talking about the cities. Most of the people are in the cities. But the rural folks, when you talk about landmass, are the people who the radio and television cater to. They don't cater to anybody in urban areas.
That's true. You're absolutely correct about that. And you're right. You know, that's one of the things I notice as well. If I'm in an office building or whatever the case may be, I notice that a lot of places they have Fox News on. And, you know, people look at them as the authority. Now, you gave me some information. I never knew they had an international thing going on there. So that's food for thought. I mean, I didn't know. I mean, so bottom line is that people that continue to listen to that nonsense, they need to wake up. It's ridiculous. And it is a bunch of BS at the highest level. But folks continue to watch it. And what's amazing to me is that it's blatant, you know. It's blatant BS. I mean, it's blatant.
Yeah, and
it really is.
And you watch places like Canada who banned Fox News from Canada. They will not let them own a station in Canada because they won't suspend their fairness doctrine, their version of the fairness doctrine that says that if you knowingly lie on a news segment, their FCC version will pull your license. That is what they're saying, and they need to suspend that for Rupert Murdoch and those guys to buy, or News Corp, to buy a news station in Canada, and they will not suspend it. They won't even license them up there. You can't knowingly lie on the news in Canada, but here you can.
Yeah, well, you know what's so ironic? We're talking about that a little later on, huh, Jerome? We're talking about the freedom of speech. All right, man, good stuff, man. Appreciate it. All right, 347-850-1272. We're going to step out and take a quick break here. Coming up on the other side, clowning around. Yeah, you saw the story. A rodeo clown dressed as the president has been banned from rodeos for life in the state of Missouri, but he's been invited to perform in Texas. We'll talk about it. It's the Serious Side. Good Sunday morning to you. We'll be right back after this.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
The Trevor Project is the leading national organization focused on crisis and suicide prevention efforts among lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning youth.
I turn your mic off.
If you're feeling helpless or hopeless, there's always a safe place to turn. Call the Trevor Helpline at 8664-U-TREVOR. It's free and confidential, and you can talk to someone 24 hours a day. Or visit the website at thetrevorproject.org. Be proud of who you are.
Thank you.
thought
about it. Okay. All right, Sir Lena, what do you think about all that?
I think that this is actually something that, sure, we're not calling for a march on Washington, but it's not funny. You know, this president has received more threats than any president in American history, and I think it's interesting that you compare it to Abraham Lincoln. I mean, are you sure you want to do that? I don't think so. So this president is hated by many in this country, and why would we want to encourage violence towards this
president?
You don't
see the humor in this, then.
I don't see the humor in it. Certainly, it's not something that we need to be protesting in the streets about, but I think that you can have a joke that is in much better taste. This man has a family. He has children. We don't want to be encouraging violence towards this president that is already receiving 400% more threats.
Welcome back in, folks. It is 38 minutes. Sorry, check that. 40 minutes after the hour, you're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show. Happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network. Online radio at its best. Calling numbers 347-850-1272. 347-850-1272. Glad you guys are spending some time with us before you go to church. Heading to your place of worship. If you're in the car, just pick up the phone, dial that number. You can listen in, or you can always sit in and listen from wherever you are, but we're glad you're in the house. All right, we're talking about clowning around, second set. A rodeo clown was dressed as a president, has been banned from rodeos in the state of Missouri. However, he was invited to perform in Texas. So now a lot of the Republicans are saying that, you know, here we are, Democrats, we're being too sensitive. You know, this is ridiculous. It's a joke. Dr. Prince's idea, the question goes to you first. Are we being too sensitive? We can't take a joke as Democrats or independents. Are we, you know, too sensitive to the fact that someone dresses a rodeo clown, you know, as the president dresses a rodeo clown? Your thoughts?
I think it's quite clear the intention of that, though.
Right.
I don't think it's being too sensitive. It's just, it is what it is. You're a clown, and you dress as the president. Like, it's a joke.
Yeah, well, of course, it's a joke. It's a joke. There's no doubt about that. But are we being too sensitive? I mean, you know, because people did this with, I mean, you saw people wearing George W. Bush crazy mask at Halloween and all this stuff. So the question is, and I'm playing devil's advocate, so don't, before you start sending emails in, calling me names, I'm just doing my job as the host. So go ahead. I'm trying to keep the conversation going. Go ahead, Dr. Prince.
Okay. So, I mean, yeah, Halloween is one thing, I guess. I don't know. I mean, okay, if Halloween, anybody could dress up as anything, and if somebody dressed up as the president on Halloween, it wouldn't necessarily mean what it meant by a clown, where it's his profession. You dress as a clown when you're to be hired as a clown. So to dress as a president, it was definitely, to me, an indicator that, you know, our president is a joke and they can laugh. And he was saying what he said, whatever he said, without saying it, just by dressing as the president in for his uniform as a clown. So, I mean, it's a different message. So are we being too sensitive to realize what it really was? It's not a matter of being sensitive. It's a matter of just, look, you know, we got what you were trying to make a joke of. You're trying to make a joke of the president. I mean, that was the bottom line. I mean, the president's not a clown. I mean, a clown is a clown. You know, you're hired as to do something for a clown, not the president. So
okay.
That's totally different than dressing as a president on Halloween. To me, it's two different things. And I mean, it's not sensitive. We're just saying this is what happened. I mean, how big are they blowing this up? I don't know, but it is what it is.
All right. What about you, Jerome? What do you think about this nonsense?
I don't know what to think about it. The question is, do we think we're being too sensitive?
Yeah, are Democrats being too sensitive? Because if you listen to a lot of the Republicans, and, of course, a lot of those guys are on Fox, but I've seen Republicans on other stations saying, hey, look, you know what, it's a joke. You guys are being too sensitive. You can't say anything about this president without getting black
Democrats.
People in an uproar.
Right. Mm-hmm. They're saying that Democrats are being sensitive?
Yeah.
Now, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Can't take a joke.
No, that's hilarious. You want to talk about comedy? That's comedy. If they're saying the Democrats are being too sensitive because of the president, just think back to when anybody said anything about George Bush. Matter of fact, you want to know what's funny? Reagan National Airport.
As horrible as a president as Reagan is, those dudes are cracking jokes with us every day by telling us how great Reagan is. That's hilarious. So you want to talk about somebody being sensitive? They are actually sensitive. That's crazy. So it becomes a stereotype, though, right? So when they say y'all being sensitive, you're too emotional, it was just a joke, that's a systemic thing when it comes down to when the majority want to do something to you and they want you to not feel anything about it, right? So, of course, he's black, so just, you know, doing things to him as the president, we're being sensitive because, yes, you should be able to, your freedoms actually allow you to say anything about any public figure. I mean, you cannot, unless you attack them personally, you can't really get sued for it. They're public figures. That's what you kind of signed up for. And you lose some of your privacy with that, right? But I want to say this, and I'll try to be really quick with this, because there was a new study that came out this past week that says being more intelligent doesn't stop people from being racist. So this researcher from the University of Michigan had 20,000 white respondents from across the country. And what they found that even high intelligent white folks they empathize with, you know, with housing and all these other things and don't like those attitudes. But the moral of this story goes that their privilege and social position over every other social group is more important. So this means the intelligent whites say that things about racial equality in principle, they agree with, as long as it doesn't mess with their privilege. So any effort to eliminate privilege strikes against them, right? And I only brought up the study just to say this. Even if you wanted to stop them from having this conversation, the intelligent white folks will say, oh, it's a joke, right? Because they don't mind prejudice and racism when they're still on the upside of that. But I guarantee you, if we were to fly Halloween mask and Nicole Simpson around this piece, everybody named Mama lose their mind. Because there is something about something that happens to white folks that they think that we are the Antichrist every time somebody says something about them. But when they say something about us, they go, can't you take a joke?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's an excellent point, Mr. Elias, that he brought up. You know, the fact that, yeah, we're going to blow it off, but if you bring up something, a figure that's revered in that community, people would really and truly say we're being insensitive. So here's a question for you once again. Are we being too sensitive when it comes to, you know, the rodeo clown situation? Is it a situation where, hey, we should laugh this off? It's a joke. They're making, you know, comedy. Should we look at it from that perspective, Mr. Elias?
Well, you know, I got mixed emotions about this one. And I was looking in the chat room, and Easy Rider said it best when he said, wait till Saturday Night Live gets a hold of this. Are we being too sensitive? No, I don't think we're being too sensitive at all. I mean, I think that the President of the United States has a certain air about it that we should respect, man. But, you know, I agree with Jerome. You know, if you talk to a Republican at this point in time about Reagan, and in my opinion, when Reagan was in the office, was a horrible president. To me, one of the most horrible presidents I've had in my lifetime. And, you know, you can't say a bad word about this guy. So I was being too sensitive. If I can attack your president, can you attack mine? So, no, I don't think we're being too sensitive. I think you should have a certain respect for the president of the United States. Now, you know, on the other hand, you know, some of them don't have. I understand the lack of respect because I didn't have any respect for Bush, the last Bush, because when they threw shoes at him, you and I were on the phone and you were like, hey man, that's not funny, and I couldn't stop laughing. I could not stop laughing every time I see that clip, I laugh, man. I mean, was that disrespectful? Yes, it was, but I guess I can understand the lack of disrespect for him because I just did not like that.
Right. And at the same time, I want to say, Elias, do not apologize and say that. No, I'm saying not apology, but don't say it's your opinion that Reagan was a bad president. I have all the facts in front of me to back that up.
So he was a bad president. Right? So don't say it's in my opinion. Say, I think history will show, if you compare his numbers, Reagan was one of the worst presidents that we had.
I thought so to myself, Jamal.
Jay's still laughing at the shoe throwing.
Stop laughing. I could not stop laughing. We were on the phone, and he said, that's not funny, man. I just like, dude, that's funny.
Oh boy. Ten minutes before the top of the hour, you're listening to the Serious Side of the Jay Rouse Show. It happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network. Online radio, and it's best 347-850-1272. I think the fact that I'm going to take it one step further. I don't think it's a situation where it's respecting the president's office, because you can go out there and find a lot of clown stuff about Reagan out there and Bush and all those different things. People have parodies and did this. I think the fact that, and it goes deeper than that, it's all about race. Folks, it's all about race, because we all know that back in the 40s and 50s, you know, they made fun of us by putting on the clown face, the black face, the white lips. I mean, I think that's where it goes. So are we playing the race card in this? Absolutely, because this is our nation's history, Dr. Prince's Audelia. We can't sit here and act like all things are being equal. I always say that we were invited to the Monopoly game after all the pieces were bought. We never got a fair shake. Yeah, we may catch a property here and there, but as far as the core of this country, you know, we don't have any deep ownership stakes in this country. So the bottom line is that you damn right it's all about racism when you see that, because it takes us back to a time where we were treated like second class citizens. Your thoughts?
Woo! Okay. Are we treated? You went in and out, but you asked. Could you ask me the question one more time?
I don't know what I asked you. I just had to say that. I was pissed off. Go ahead. I don't know if there was a question in there or not. Your thoughts?
Okay, first of all, my thoughts is this simply. I mean, are we going to make a real big deal about it because he dressed like a clown? We saw exactly what was done. The intent of his actions are clear. Can be, you know, I think it's a higher probability that he meant to put it out there that he thinks President Barack Obama is a clown and it's a joke and it's enough to laugh at that, you know? That is enough clown, a clown outfit for him. That's where it is. You say that there are other clowns, people have been dressed as the President Reagan and this, that, and the other. I don't know. Was, when they were dressed like that, was it Halloween? Was it something they were walking around
doing? People,
was
listen,
it an
people
outright
have made fun.
Public...
People have made fun of other presidents. Listen, trust me.
Yeah,
I'm like Mr. Elias on this. I'm kind of on the fence, and the reason why I'm on the fence because I can understand where they're going, but the bottom line is that you can sit here and say what you want about, oh, we made fun. They made fun of every other president. You're right, but this is a different president, and he looks different. So you can't sit here and say, when you do things that reminds people of just this country's ugly past, that's not something to sneeze at. Okay? Because that's exactly what it looked like. It looked like, your boss wants some watermelon. That's exactly what it looked like. So maybe that's the situation that we're living in. Because a lot of white people, I heard this during the Riley Cooper situation. I listened to a lot of sports talk radio. And the thing I always heard was, well, I don't know why black people are so upset. It's not like they were slaves. I mean, people are so far removed from this nonsense that it's ridiculous. And so I think that people say, well, why are they so upset? I mean, they've been living a good life. I mean, they didn't have to eat in the back of lunch counters. It's just the fact that you remind people of such a turbulent past. I think that's why it strikes a chord. Your thoughts?
And you know, I mean, I understand. I mean, it does strike a chord. But I don't think you do,
because you're getting ready to say something that's going to probably piss everybody off on the show. But go ahead.
Well,
I want to hear what you have to say.
I mean, what else? I mean, okay, he dressed as the president as he was supposed to be working as a clown. I get it.
Was that enough, though, Dr. Princess O'Day? That wasn't enough for you.
That is enough. I'm saying that's enough. It says that he thinks he's a joke, and he made a public display of his opinion in that manner. I mean, should he be allowed to do such a thing? If he is hired to do, should he be reprimanded? Yes, it should be reprimanded. How far should we take this? I mean, he did it. He's reprimanded.
are we going to keep talking? I mean, you know what? I think we should just, it was done. I don't know what else to do. I mean, if he's reprimanded, he's reprimanded. People have done, they've done worse things than that. But, I mean, it's clear they don't like the president. People don't like the president. There's a lot of racism with the president. And some people who are not even racist don't like the president because they just don't like the changes that he's made because it's different from the other president. I mean, people have their own, just because they don't like the president doesn't mean that they're prejudiced. It doesn't mean that it's a racist thing. You know what I'm saying? You
I
don't
agree
like
with
the
that.
President, so you're racist.
I agree with that.
You know?
I agree with that.
Okay,
so, I do agree with that.
So
you know,
some people just don't
like
what
that,
he's doing.
Racist.
What statement would you say, Jerome?
I said,
go
you
ahead,
know,
Jerome.
Say stuff like people who say stuff like that is racist. You know, the issue is nobody brought racism into Jack until you had a black president and you start doing stuff with images of the president that are racist. So
yeah.
Yes, you can mock. I think, you know, Saturday Night Live when it first came on the air with Gerald Ford. I think Chevy Chase had a very funny skit. He ain't dressed like Gerald Ford. He dressed as Chevy Chase, but he fell all the time because the president fell all the time. That's hilarious, right? So when you do that, that's one thing. But when you start mocking race because your president is black, then you have racism problems. And if you laugh at that, you are actually bordering on racist. You cannot say I'm racist sometime, but that doesn't mean I'm racist all across the board. Yes, it does. This country has a horrible track record with this. So don't let anybody off the hook. I think it was Nixon on the White House tapes, and nobody talked about how racist Nixon was. On the White House tapes, he said, blacks like me are 500 years away from being equal to a white person like me. He said, black people are about 500 years away from being equal to a white person like me. That's what they called on the White House tapes. Nobody highlights that as a quote from Nixon. But hell, if he was not racist. So we can sit there and skirt around all of that nonsense if you want to about images of presidents and stuff. But we should be hanging that fool up as a poster child, and Reagan and Lyndon Johnson, although he signed the Civil Rights Act and people love him. But the racist stuff that he said was crazy. Right? And so let's not like push that under the bridge, like water under the bridge, like we need to move past that. That is nonsense. That is something that we need to get a grip on. I don't care about racist people. That is not my issue in life. But what I'm saying to you is that you don't excuse them for being racist like that's normal. Oh, that's okay. Y'all always been racist. It's Paula Deen, you know. I like her cakes. Like, you don't do that, right? You don't let somebody profit off of oppressing your people, even if you're not oppressed. So that is problematic in our society, and that's something when we keep talking about black leadership that people won't stand up to. We don't need black leaders if black people would stand on the same accord and stop opting out of racist conversations, that they're being racist. Just call it what it is and just say, hey, you know what? It's fun to make, it's okay to make fun of the president. Nobody's saying that you can't, but it's not fun to be racist. I don't care who you're making fun of. Now, we need to call that out when it happens.
No, you're absolutely correct about that. And, Ms. Ellie, that's one of the things that the reason why I think it's taken on more of a media spotlight is because people who are actually at the rodeo said they felt that they were at a Klan rally based on how people were reacting to this nonsense. So you can sit here and say that you're making fun of the president. You can sit here and say, listen, I think every president, you know, listen, he has big ears. You know, he has a big long head. He's, you know, come on, make fun of him. But don't put it in a situation. Situation or in a forum where people that were there said, you know, it felt like we were at a Klan rally based on the way they were reacting to this nonsense. It is what it is, and people need to be, you know, cognizant of that.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly, Jay, but, you know, they're only going to take that, you know, basically stuff to the southern states, man. You know, let's just be honest, man. That's where it's home spun at. That's where it exists at. You know, now, you know, not to say the North isn't racist, because, you know, I can take you some parts of Chicago that's racist.
Well, Missouri's kind of, you know, Midwestern, and then Mr. Elias, I mean, that's not all the way down south.
It's got that southern twang to it, Jack. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You know, look,
and it's still rural.
Maybe, yeah. Think about it, you know. But like I said, man, if we really look at it, man, it is what it is, man. We all know racism exists. And, you know, and if it makes you feel uncomfortable, and you don't, and you can look at it as a part, because like Jerome said, some stuff on Saturday Night Live you can look at it and laugh and like that's a funny skit. But if something out there makes you feel uncomfortable, guess what, man? It's the sign of it, man. It's the sign of racism, man. I'm sorry.
Mr. Elias, did you just curse?
No, I didn't. I surely did.
You said money. Oh, you said funny skit. I thought you said something else. All right.
Yeah, funny skit.
Okay.
No,
sorry.
That was
3478. I thought he said something else. Okay. 347-851-272 is the call-in number. A little bit of the Jerry Ryle Show sprinkled in this morning. Having a great time, but we're having a serious conversation. It's the serious side right here on the TGR's radio network. We're talking about this guy who wore the clown mask. And, you know, the guy, he came out and said that he didn't intend on that being racist. He didn't realize that. You know, come on. And this is the thing that really gets me, and this is where I think you and I bump heads a little bit, Dr. Princess O'Day, because people sit here and say, oh, I didn't recognize that. The first thing, the thing that's so funny about people who do these types of things is how they apologize immediately. You know, when the congressman, when he emailed all the pictures out of Prince, you know, doctor, you know, as of the president dressed as a pimp, and you know, and the first lady was some type of hoe. You know, he sent those emails out, but then he apologized immediately. Oh my God, I didn't realize. Yes, the hell you did realize it. Yes, the hell you did. And it's about time you get called out on it. So this is why I think you and I bump heads, because sometimes to me, and it's just me, and maybe I'm the only one, it's like you give people passes when they do stupid stuff, and they need to be called out on it. Your thoughts? Or did we lose her?
No,
did we lose her? We lost. I mean, she's still here. Dr. Princess O'Dea, are you paying attention? Are you with us this morning? Okay. All right, so listen, but okay, I'll go to you, Jerome. Bottom line is, these people know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. And so, you know, to sit here and issue these apologies, listen, I'd have more respect for you. You say, look, I'm not apologizing. That's how I feel, and I'm going to stick to it. You know what? I don't like you, but I'll respect you. But don't come with this, oh, well, I didn't really mean to do this. You know, I don't know what I was thinking. Bull crap.
I was recently having this conversation. That's what white privilege is. Right, it's like the guy from Philadelphia can say, "Hey, I said the N word, yelling about beating up a security guard, and all the other N words that I see, I'll beat all of y'all up." Oh my bad. And so everybody black is supposed to be cool with him now. Like it's just like white folks get to say I'm sorry, but Michael Vick gets to go to jail. Like it's a dog. It's a dog racing whatever. I don't know what they do in the South, but you do whatever they do. Chicken fight, dog races, whatever. I don't know how that works. But all I'm saying is that he didn't actually do anything, and his apology did not help him one bit when it came back to getting in the league, because then they were like, well, he's going to have to take a pay cut. He's going to have to prove himself. He's going to have to do whatever. He's going to have to make this up for years to come, right? We do that to black people. But the white person go, oh, my bad. You know, Bill O'Reilly will say something. Oh, my fault. You know, and it's like hell, Bill Maher will say something, and he'll say, well, he's just a comedian. Like, sometimes you need to shut people down when they cross that line, and that's my point. Black people do not get that kind of leeway. I mean, if you can't name somebody, well, I know I can't, name somebody who's just said, I'm sorry, and walked away and was black, but I can name about 30 white folks that have. So there's some privilege in that as well. So when you talk about, yeah, I'm going to dress up as a clown and go out, and it's treated like a Klan rally, and you say, I didn't know that. When your butt was jumping around in front of everybody while they was cheering, you knew what they were doing. You ain't run off in the back. They know what they're doing. So the problem is the shame of being caught. That's a whole nother story, because now that you have to face that when you go home and you have family, now you want us to feel sorry because you have family and it's my job, and I don't want you to lose your job or nothing. But we can't feel sorry for that because you didn't think about that before you did it. And again, black people never get the benefit of the job. That's why jail numbers are up 1,600% since 1990. Like that's why those numbers are so high. I'm sorry, that's on the private jail industry. The public side is about 700%. But still, our numbers are up so high because you can get in front of a jury and they say things like, hey, Trayvon Martin should have ran home, knowing that, you know, those are cultural differences, right? And we
don't take in consideration, or they don't take in consideration, that black folks are treated differently in this country than white folks, and they can make fun of us and do all these other things and not be called racist because they said, I'm sorry. You know, Donald Trump is racist. I'm sorry, he's alleged racist for your show's sake. But at the same point, he can have some black friends because he can buy some. Work it out, Donald Trump.
That's well said. You know what? I think that's a good place to step out. Way to say, hey, good stuff, good stuff. All right, 347-850-1272 is our call-in number, 347-850-1272. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J-Rod Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. You know, Mr. Elias, here real quick, when we talk about, you know, clowning around and, you know, this guy wearing the mask, he came out and said, oh, I didn't know that, I'd really offended people and blah, 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 blah. You know, I guess for me, what's the message for some of these young white kids? Because there are young white kids out there. And listen, if folks are listening to us and saying, oh, my God, you guys sound like racists, we're not. You know, look, I'm all about calling people what they are, and I'm all about calling things out. Now, you've heard me say 1,000 times on this show, I'm not a person that wants to throw willy-nilly throws a race card out there, because I think in some cases it's inappropriate. That's just my opinion. But if it's appropriate, then I'm going to be the first one to say, hey, just use it because it is appropriate. And in my opinion, you have a lot of these young kids out here who say things like, you know, I understand why they're so upset. And, you know, I mean, they're just looking at it from their viewpoint. I think Jerome hit the nail on the head, the fact that they just don't get it. And so the question is, what do you tell these, what do you do with these young white kids who are out here? They just don't understand, because, you know, we have to reach the next generation. I think folks are in their 40s or in their 50s. They are who they are. They're not going to change. So you might as well just say whatever with those folks. But it's all about trying to reach the younger generation.
Yeah, Jay, I agree. You know, and if you look at the younger generation, man, it might get better with them. But, you know, like I said, racism is, you're not born with it, you're taught. So, you know, so if you reach out to the younger generation and teach them better, maybe it's still going to exist no matter what. But, you know, it might get better as far as the as the masses go.
Yeah, well, I don't think we'll ever get away from racism. That's just what this country's all about, and we just have to learn to live with it. All right, coming up next, folks, taking free speech too far. Oh, my God, this is going to be a great conversation. You're tuned in to The Serious Side every Sunday morning. We're right here at 347-850-1272. Write that number down. You can use it. Don't be scared. We'll be right back after this. Don't go anywhere.
This is a test.
As we jump into the second set with laughter, a hearty laughter from Toxic Style. Welcome back in, folks. 347-850-1272.
A show for women, by women. Is your resident, not for the South. My little daughter.
Good Sunday morning to you, folks, and welcome into the Serious Side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jazz Jazz Cafe.
Powerhouse Sports Talk Radio.
Welcome back. You are tuning in to the True Purpose Development Show. Tonight, we...
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
The summer breeze, giving the satisfaction. Some
kiss and that you caress me. Well, I understand that I'm such a lucky man.
Oh, I never met a woman, never.
That I have met a friend, I really couldn't be any better.
She's a vision of
all there is to
love. Oh, I never met a woman.
Most afraid that they're a fraud, they've never felt like they fit in. I mean, think of this with the president, and let's be kind to him. He didn't grow up here. He's never fit in. Why is he golfing? He sucks at golf.
Is our call-in number, 347-850-1272. It's 13 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Let's say good morning one last time to everyone. Let's say good morning to my main man, Jerome Esprit from EspritRadio.net. Good morning, Jerome.
Hey, good morning.
And of course, I'm not sure if Dr. Princess O'Dea is back with us. Dr. Princess O'Dea, are you back with us?
Yes, I am. Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
All right, good. All right, folks, listen, you can participate, 347-850-1272. Okay, last subject on the table here today, taking the right of free speech too far. Now, you heard the lead-in. Glenn Beck went on to call the president a coward. He called him a coward. And what's really alarming about all this for me, Jerome, is that you have these fat conservative men, white men, that sit behind microphones and they sit around and they pass on their judgment. They talk about all these different things. None of them ever raise their right hand in support of this country's defense. But if you sit and listen to these nonsense people like, you know, Ted Nugent and Rush Limbaugh and, you know, Glenn Beck, they're clowns. They're puppets and they're ridiculous. But I'm at a point now where I'm saying, okay, look, I know we live in the greatest country that that exists in this world. But the bottom line is that how can these people continue to say these types of things? He called the president a coward. He should be arrested along for making that comment. Your thoughts?
Right, and you should include Bill O'Reilly,
Mitt
Romney,
Sean Hannity.
Yep, all those guys who avoided war wouldn't raise a hand to defend the nation when it was their, when their generation had to suffer, and now they're criticizing it, saying it needs to get back to the good old days when they were able to avoid anything, right? So I think that, you know, if you're going to be racist and have those attitudes, fine by me. But the problem is I can't look at you as legitimate on anything. You can't even tell me the weather and have me believe that. So I think we kind of have to practice that to some degree, is to know when people are coming to you with extreme bias, you don't have to take any of that stuff into consideration, like zero. And that's where Hannity and those guys are, you know, losing sponsors, because we're, people are finally saying, and this is not black folks, this is white folks, are finally saying, look, we're not supporting you if you're supporting them. Because, they, you know, you just get tired of it as a society, of the divisiveness that's created because you're playing to whatever people deem as low information voters. But it's just because they're stupid, they want to find people that's going to believe their stupidity. It's like listening to Pat Buchanan. He's been absent from the scene for a while. He'll resurface every now and then. But Pat Buchanan is just as crazy as he always has been. He's just trying to figure out a way to make him sound sane in modern day. David Duke tried that when he ran for president. He was like, yeah, I was a grand wizard of the Klan. And, I mean, I don't dislike black folks, but I ain't saying I like them. You know, it's really interesting how they can, you know, walk that line and then still get some kind of following. Even some black people listen to, you know, the Ron and Rand Pauls of the world and say, well, they make sense. It's like you're listening to the people who obviously say they don't like you because of your race, but they make sense about other stuff. So that's always interesting to me. So, those guys are nuts.
Oh, they're stupid. They're ridiculous. But I guess my thing, and even if you go back and look at that church, the Westboro Church, that stands outside of fallen soldiers' funerals and say, you know, soldiers are fags, God loves dead fag soldiers. I mean, you know, Dr. Princess O'Dea, I mean, are we at a point now where we're saying, look, this is ridiculous? I mean, you have the right to, you know, you have the right to free speech, but when it starts bordering on hate and these types of things, shouldn't we step in and say something? Should something happen, or is that, you know, but are we, if we do that, are we attacking the very core of what makes this country great? Your thoughts?
Well, I think that, first of all, taking the right of free speech, can we take it too far? Yeah, we can.
Are we taking it too far? I mean, are we taking it too far? Yes. Are we taking it too far?
I don't know. I mean, what is too far? I mean, if you have a
standing
right
outside
of
a funeral, standing outside of a soldier's thing with a sign that says "God bless dead soldiers," don't you think that's too far?
Yeah, that's insensitive. It's definitely insensitive, and there should be boundaries. You have free speech, but it should not entail disrespect or a level of you operate in a way where it will. Cause for there to be violence, or could be a contributor to violence, and I think it says that in that law, doesn't it say that? I think it talks about that. So you have free speech, but you have no right to disrespect someone or to be insensitive, you know, to someone in that way. I guess there should be places where you can say what you got to say, but you have to consider how you're doing it. And I don't know if the law protects that or not. because the law says you have a right of free
speech. Well, the law protects your right to free speech. I mean, you know, that's in the Constitution.
No,
you can, you know, you can say what you need to say, but... Yeah, but I guess my question, Mr. Elias, and I come to you on this one, is, you know, once again, I mean, are we at a point, should there be some type, you just can't, to sit there and say, it's like you can't stand up in a theater and yell fire, because then you'll go to jail. I mean, so to me, shouldn't there be, people can sit here and stand outside funerals and do these types of things. You can have people to go on the air and call the president a coward. A coward.
Well, you know, Jay, look, I think what these guys are doing are despicable. I do. And I think that, you know, for you to go outside a dead soldier's funeral and hold up these signs and do all this stuff is disgusting. It's a despicable act. But we do have our right to our own opinion, our right to our own thoughts and freedom of speech, man. That's what makes America America. But, you know, It's just what it is, man. It's their thoughts and their despicable acts. You know, I think you should take them out and put them in a war and let something happen to their kids and see how they feel about it, man. These people died for us in the war, you know, fighting for our freedom, and then you take it and you go out and do this. So they're fighting for the very thing that they are protesting for. So it's a despicable act, but it's what makes America America. They get the freedom of speech to say what you want to say, but you can't say it in certain places. Like, you can't yell bomb on an airplane or fire in a crowded theater. You're right. But other than that, people got the right to their own opinion. Like, when they call the president a coward, that's their opinion. And there's nothing we can do about that.
You know what I think, so too?
What?
We're only saying something about something that is relevant to us. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're only bellyaching about this because, wow, the gall of that
we're
person.
We're bellyaching.
That person, well, what I'm, yeah, we're bellyaching about this because, you know, the soldiers matter to us. Like, how could they do something so insensitive only because we don't like what they said? And we don't, and in the manner in which they said it. Somebody who who doesn't mind abortion, and people want to sit out and picket right in front of the abortion clinic. I mean, they've been doing that for years, but I don't remember us having a show on that. You know, when we talk about freedom of speech, and have we taken it too far? Because people have been doing forever.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're bringing this segment is about that, so you're bringing it up. I mean, that's a good point. I mean, but my thing is that if I'm reading something in the chat room, and of course you can, your thoughts can be read during the chatterbox section, which comes up here in about another 20 minutes or so, reading something that Lavinia put in the chat room. She says, look, I bet if we start exercising our free speech by naming some home address and telephone numbers of these fools, that mess would scale back. That's a good point. But I guess for me, when we sit and think about this, and you're right, absolutely, we have the right to say a lot of things. But to me, you know, it just seems, and, you know, like I said, maybe I'm in left field with this, Jerome. It just seems to me that we're taking it too far and that there should be repercussions when people do things like this. You have no right to sit here. Well, I guess you do have the right. That's the reason why we're talking about it. But when do we get to a point where he says, you know what, enough is enough? You know, enough is enough. These people need to be arrested for doing these types of things.
First of all, we don't have a right to free speech. I just want to say that if you remember the Occupy Wall Street stuff at Fox were cheering the fact that people would get arrested for sitting in parks and public parks and stuff, and then they set curfews and saying you have to be out by 10 o'clock because it's for your safety because of whatever. They start making that stuff up on the fly, and then we watch Egypt, and then we all like, the president needs to intervene because they have the freedom to say what they want to. We are contradictory. We contradict ourselves on this all the time. Freedom of speech goes by freedom to say whatever government wants you to say. That is usually how that rolls. So you can go outside with a megaphone if you want to. And I used to say this years ago. If I sat outside with a megaphone downtown telling the truth, I'd get shot before noon because I know how that goes. Right? You don't have the freedom to say what you want because technically there's laws in this country that says that if you're 30
and you influence people under the age of, I think, 21. I mean, you stand on stage and you incite them. It doesn't have to be a riot, but if you sit there and incite them for something, you can get arrested for influencing minors. So freedom of speech is relative to whoever wants to pull that card on you from speaking. So don't believe that there's no laws in here that says that you can say what you want to. Freedom of speech is kind of in a media contextual way that you can say what you want when it comes to reporting and getting information out to the masses. But try to rally somebody. Have an organized meeting in your garage and see how that swoop down freedom of speech works for you.
You know what, that's an excellent point, Jerome. That is an excellent point. You're right. There are certain things that you just cannot do. I mean, think about the lady. What was her name? The lady that camped outside of George Bush's Texas ranch, and she had a little thing there, and all of a sudden they came and said, hey, you can't do this. So you're right. I mean, it really depends on where this happens. But, you know, once again, these people have the ability. Here's a question for you guys, and I know the answer, but I'm going to ask the question anyway, and I'll start with you, Dr. Princess. I'll tell you. Should people be arrested when they say hateful and derogatory things about the President of the United States, regardless of who it is and what skin color they are?
If they say hateful and derogatory things about the President.
If they call the President a coward, if they call him an a-hole, if they go on public radio.
No, I don't.
And say these types of things. You don't think
so? No.
No,
okay. Because lawfully lawfully, you're not. It's not lawful.
You're saying they're not breaking the law. They're not breaking the law by doing these things.
No, because it says you have freedom of speech, and it's their opinion. If that's the case, the president is the president. We understand he's the president. But guess what? You're your own president. I'm my own president. We're all our own individual presidents. So hell, if they say something about us, I guess they should be arrested too. I mean, come on. So no, say what you. I mean, what? I mean. You call them a coward. Shut the whole White House. Shut the world down because somebody called the president a coward. I mean, it's rude, but it's their opinion. I mean, seriously, it's their opinion.
Okay. What about you, Ms. Elias? What do you think? You think that if someone says these types of things about the president of the United States, do you think there should be some type of repercussions behind that?
No, Jay, because, you know, if you look at it, we talked about Bush in a manner which, you know, think about it. We just talked about Bush, so no, I don't think you should be. I mean, like I said, it's your right to say what you want to say. It's just what consequences you might have to deal with afterwards.
Jerome?
I don't know. Like, you can't. Put it this way, you should have freedom of speech and freedom to say what you want to say, but there are limits to freedoms. No, you shouldn't get arrested for saying something, but if it's hate, like France is a good poster child for this. France just arrested somebody in Congress, somebody who was running, they call them PMs there, but somebody in Congress said something racist, and they got brought up on charges of racism. They actually have a law that you can't say racist things in public, on television, in Congress, nowhere. And Congress is usually exempt from that in France, and they took the exemption away because the person didn't say it during their political time. They said it out in public. So that law has been there for at least about 5 years, and I look at news stories pretty much every couple of weeks or so where somebody in France gets arrested for racism. They've had it there for a while.
So you can't, so clarify that for me. You're saying that you can't, how does it work?
If you say something racist in France on the public airways, in the public streets, you can get arrested for racism.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's just, and I don't care how you phrase it, if you get arrested, you get brought up in front of a commission. I don't know if you get community service. I don't know what you get, but I know that they bring you up on charges. And the politician who did it was kind of right-wing, like the Limbaughs of the world, and her father was arrested for it years ago because they tried to cut it out of society. Some some societies are saying that if you're blatantly racist, we have recourse. So instead of doing like South Africa, having a truth and reconciliation commission here, we won't deal with racism and act like it don't exist. And then we have all this racist stuff pretty much running as an undercurrent of our society, whereas people act like, just use code words. In France, right. You can use a code word if you want, but if everybody knows what it is, kind of like Paula Deen saying that black joke, like her saying that, black people didn't catch it, but her sponsorship left because white folks knew what she was saying. So you would get arrested in France and brought up on charges for it. Again, I don't know what the penalties, I can look it up, but I don't know what the penalties are, but you'll get charged with racism there.
It's the bottom of the hour. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show. Happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network. Online radio at its best. 347-850-1272 is our calling number. 347-850-1272. We're talking about the freedom of speech. Going too far with it. I mean, can people take it to the point where they should be arrested for some of the things that they say in public? So now let me throw this one at you, Ms. Elias. We're saying that this is a country that we live in this country and people have the right to say what they need to say. You can't say, I'm going to kill the president. You can't sit there and say,
true.
I wish the president. You can't say those types of things. So, I mean, so is it a situation like Jerome mentioned earlier? Bottom line is, there are some things that we can say and there are some things that we can't say. So we really and truly don't really technically have a true freedom of speech. When people walk into these Congress halls and they start protesting, they're removed from the area. Now, that's a house that the public bought and built and is still paying for. I don't have the right to walk in there. If my congresspeople are saying something stupid, I get escorted out. So do I really have the right to free speech?
You got the right to free speech. You can walk in there and say what you want to, but they'll escort you out. They're not arresting you. But bottom line is, freedom is not so free, is what I was always told. You can take that as you will, but the bottom line is, when you walk into it, you should be able to walk into your Congress or the wherever you want to walk into, because you paid for it, and talk to your congressman. But it's not that way anymore. I mean,
and you can't threaten people either.
No, you can't
threaten to kill anybody. That's just not the president.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, but you know, to me, when you're standing outside of a funeral and holding up these crazy ass signs, in my opinion, that's a threat. I mean, you know, thank God for dead soldiers. I mean, to me, I just think that at some point in time, common sense has to prevail. And to me, if law enforcement jumps in, because let me tell you something, if it happens outside of a military concern, no telling what would happen to those people. You know, what happens if you have a family member that died, you know, a very gruesome death, and they have someone sitting in the cut saying, if these fools show up, I'm going to blast them. So, you know, it's just like, I don't understand these people. I don't get it. You know, Dr. Princess O'D, another thing I don't get. You have all these people here in America that complains about the government and saying that the government goes too far and, you know, I can't stand the government. Then why don't you move your ass to Canada? Why are they still in this country if they do not like our federal government?
Because it's the land of the free. If, you know, people can talk what they don't like. I mean, but come on, it's just, you know, it is what it is. People are here because they want to be here, and some, I mean, they don't even have the means to go elsewhere, you know. I mean, they're all words. They're just words. People say what they show, but, I mean, they're here because, I mean, what kind of question is that, Jay? Why are they still here?
Well, it's a great question, because we have people like our colleague Ernest. He complains about the president. He shows pictures of him flipping the president off. This president has done more for gay people than any president I can remember, but yet and still, you know, he's always talking about how the president is the most horrible thing in the world. Some of these people have the ability to go to other countries. You've seen that show Doomsday Preparers, these people who are preparing to take on the government. You know, you have to have money to build militias and do all this other nonsense that these people are doing. So to sit here and say that if you don't like this country, leave. It's simple. If you are someplace and you don't like it, you go. Simple.
Maybe in their mind, it's the lesser of two evils. Maybe it's fear that holds
them back. What do you
mean by that? The lesser of, I shouldn't say two evils, but the lesser of all evils. Maybe they don't like this country and they can't think of another country they like better than the one that they don't like. I mean, I don't know.
Wow.
You know, they don't like it here, but they don't like it over there for this reason or that reason. They don't like it there for this or that. You have to make the best of wherever you are. And just like you said here, Ernest, you know, he's a gay male, and our president has done more, even having conversations about laws and things that would help make life a little bit easier for the gay community, and yet he still has a whole bunch to say. Maybe it's for other reasons. Maybe it has nothing to do with what he's doing. Maybe it doesn't matter what President Barack Obama does. The fact that his tail is there, you know, hey, look, racism has its way of showing up in all different kind of ways, and you can't hide it. You know, racism is not something you can hide too well. If you have a good conversation with someone long enough, it, you know, the truth will reveal. You'll realize where they're really coming from. So a lot of people, you have some people who don't like President Barack Obama because he's a black man, and some of them don't even realize how racist they are. They just feel, you know, hey, they're just about as blind as the person who says, I've got a bunch of black friends, or I've got a bunch of white friends, and whether you're black or white, your prejudice is all hell. But you don't think it's prejudice. You just think that, you know, there's differences, you know. However, I don't know how you answer that question, why somebody's here. They're just here because they want to be here. Or they just, you know, they're here. Yeah, they're here.
Well, we have a few minutes left before we get into our third and final set, or get into the next segment of the show. Let me just finish it up with this. Let me just, you know, I'll go around the room here. Mr. Elias, let me start with you. You know, this is the greatest country in the world. People having the ability to say what they need to say, or say what they want to say, I guess they have the right to do that. It just seems to me that it's at a point where it's getting ridiculous. Is at a point where if you say things that are harmful to other folks, you know, I just think there just should be some repercussions behind that. That's just my thought. But let me get your final thought on this particular topic.
Well, you know, freedom isn't so free anymore, Jay, and it never has been, you know. But, you know, we do have the right to say certain things. We don't, you know, which is in this country is more of a freedom than you have to say in other countries. So, you know, we have a lot more leeway than other countries do, but, man, you know, if you go to other countries and you say certain things, it could be a lot of repercussions put behind it. But, you know, freedom isn't so free is the only thing I can say.
Yeah.
You have a fight for
you know,
every day.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, Jerome, like you said, freedom is not free. It is the greatest country in the world. So, you know, bottom line is it's just something that we have to live with, right?
We lost Jerome.
We lost Jerome, okay. All right, Dr. Priscilla, give me your final thoughts on this particular topic.
Well, I'm just going to say this. One thing that is lacked as a people, regardless of what race you are, I find in our generation we lack wisdom. We lack love. We even know what love is. And I think if we really hone in on wisdom and love, which is only attained through, you know, through self-realization, the true essence of love, the true essence of wisdom. When you have that, you don't go and do things that are hurtful to people, like stand out in front of a funeral, you know, picketing on a death. You don't do things that are insensitive to people. And because our society today, unfortunately, in its current state, lack wisdom and love, these things happen. So when we have such a freedom as freedom of speech, we don't know how to properly place that. We don't know how properly to distribute that as a people in our society today. So, I mean, this conversation is a conversation that, I mean, I guess it's good just to talk about it. But what needs to happen is that people need to really take time to search for self and really move from all of this external and social BS that we have been just
wrapped around in. It's like a big spider web. You know, it's, we're going around the world, just going around and around and around, and it seems like we're getting nowhere because people aren't slowing down. People aren't taking time to meditate. People don't even know who they are themselves, and they're displaced. They feel displaced themselves because they don't know who they are. They don't meditate. They don't seek the greater wisdom, the greater truth, the greater love that will give them the wisdom to distribute that freedom of speech in its proper manner. And until then, we'll just keep having things like this, and we'll just keep talking about it, and we'll keep having table discussions and mad at people, and it'll just keep happening. So what are we going to do? Take one person at a time. We've got to be responsible for ourselves, but it does take that wisdom and love.
Well, you know, listen, I think that conversation is always important. I've always been told that there's no such thing as a dumb question. If you want to know something, or if you want to get other people's opinion, you ask. And so I'm glad we do talk about some of the things that we do talk about here. People may not agree with it, and it is what it is. But the bottom line is that, we're going to continue to have conversations about things that affect us, not only from a social standpoint, but we're going to also have conversations about things that may affect us personally. I just think that's the way you have to do it, and I think that's the reason why the serious side has been around as long as it has, because we sit down and have those types of conversations. I think they're good conversations to have, and we're going to continue to do that. All right, folks, it's been great. We're going to step out. Coming up, before we go, a quick look at some stories that made headlines this past week. In chapter box, your final thoughts from the social media world. We're winding down. It's the serious side. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this.
Oh, Travis nie związany z dalszym rozwojem województwa i kraju.
The week that was in the news.
Surprising announcement from the British police. Scotland Yard said it is studying new information about the deaths of Princess Diana and her friend Dodi Al-Fayed in that car crash in Paris 16 years ago this month. Scotland Yard said it had recently received the information and was, quote, assessing its relevance and credibility. Authorities did not elaborate on what new clues they're investigating, but said this was not a reinvestigation of the case.
I was diagnosed on September 10th with metastatic or stage 4 breast cancer, and unfortunately a week later my 3-year-old daughter was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia.
There was signs of something wrong, bruising and fevers. They took her in Monday morning, and I got the call at work and got the news. For me, it was immediate anger. I was very upset that these two situations were happening so close together.
I wrote a poem for you. I know you don't like poetry, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. I ain't never read my poetry for nobody, not even my mama. It goes, we were friends a long time ago. Laughing, rapping, chasing girls, obeying no laws except the one of caring. Basketball days and high nights, no tomorrows. Unable to remember yesterday. We live for today. Oh man, it don't rhyme. Jeez. You could have been the greatest, man. Wish.
All right, folks, it's time for, before we go, a quick look at some stories that made headlines this past week. You know, the first story about this, excuse me. God, Mr. Elias, I forgot. I'm drawing a blank. What was the first story? Diana. There it is. Princess Diana.
Yes.
I tell you, man. Listen, I understand if there's foul play that we should continue to look into this thing, but why don't we just let them rest in peace, man? It was a tragic accident. Why are we continuing to look into this? Are they? Because it's the British.
Well, she's an iconic figure, Jay. She was just that a person, man. But, you know, if you think about it, man, you know, they're going to continue to do. She's a fascinating figure to them, you know. I say, you know, let her rest in peace, man. They won't let it go because it's iconic and the big figure.
Yeah, they won't. They won't let it go. It's just they continue to try to find what's going on with her. You heard the story. A young 3-year-old, Dr. Princess Odia, mother and daughter both having cancer. Oh, my God. The mother's is curable, but the daughter's is incurable. God dang it. You know, you wonder why bad things happen to certain people, but this is just devastating.
Now you're devastating.
These types of things will continue to be heard until we begin to educate on health, healthy ways to eat, healthy ways to live, and really when we can come out with what is already knowledge of how to cure cancer and how to prevent cancer altogether. This is sad. And it's not like it's a virus or a disease. This is sad.
Yeah,
it is
a sad situation for that family, and the father having to deal with not only his wife having breast cancer, but now his young daughter, 3-year-old, she's not going to be able to, can't come back from it. It's a sad situation, but I can't send people off with a sad story. Yesterday, we talked about the J. Ryle show, movies that made grown men cry. Mr. Elias, I wanted to play that for you.
Thank you,
because
I
was trying to see if I get tears out of you today.
I was like, what are you doing with this story, man? Why would you be bringing that out? I knew what it was when you brought it to God. I'm like, oh boy, look at this cat. You know?
Yeah. I was trying to get him.
That wasn't part of that.
Oh man, on that note, It's time for Chatterbox final thoughts from the social media world. And we have some good ones this morning. Let me start off with one I have from a person by the name of Cassie. Cassie says, any state, any president, period. And she was referring to when we talked about the rodeo clown. And I guess what she's saying here is that regardless of what state, that rodeo clown should be banned, and it shouldn't matter what president, that person should be banned. Who do you have, Mr. Elias?
I have Covina, man, when he says, once Obama's out of office, some of these white people will calm down, go back to barbecues and NASCAR.
I have one in here from Easy. Easy says, look, the clown was just one of those dumb, in parentheses, dumb white guys. So say I. Who else you have?
I have St. Clinton when he says, I don't believe in voting authority, but for the person I feel that will represent me the best, regardless of the party.
All right, and I have one in here from our man Covina. He says, look, the clown, that clown will be the official spokesperson for Fox News really, really soon. Who else do you have, Ms. Elias?
I have Hey Lavinia when she said, they know we aren't being sensitive, but they have to say that to justify their actions to the same, to shame us into accepting nonsense.
Absolutely. And that's Chatterbox. All right. We'll be back with our final thoughts after this very special 3-minute commentary. We'll be right back.
The views and opinions expressed during the 3-minute commentary are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Jay Ryle Show. Jay's 3-minute commentary starts now.
Well, today's 3-minute commentary is a great 3-minute commentary. I am happy to announce that young Jordan has received a kidney. It's a match. Everything matched up. The kidney's in. She's out of surgery. She's recovering. God is good. The kidney is producing urine. What a wonderful, 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 wonderful thing that's going on right now. And let me just say this. I want to say thank you to each and every last one of you who have sent your prayers up for this beautiful young girl. You know, and I'll say this, and let me confess this, because, you know, it's always easy to say something after the fact, but I promise you I felt this way from day one. When I heard the news about young Jordan and I read all the notes and all the positivity that's been going up her way and all the prayers, I knew she'd be okay. I wasn't worried about it. Now, of course, it's easy for me because I'm out on the outside looking in. I'm not her parent. But I tell you, I just felt that she was going to get what she needed to get through this thing. Now, she's not out the woods yet, but she's recovering right now, and so now we're on the path of recovery. And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to all the listeners who sent those prayers up, because God is able and He does answer prayer. Now, if you're an atheist, that's your business. I could care less. I'm telling you what my God can do. And so I'm so happy that we've received this news. But on the other hand, I want to send special prayers out to the donor's family, because as one life is saved, another life was lost. In order for her to have this kidney came from a deceased donor. Now, I think if you've been following young Jordan's plight, you know that her long-term recovery would have been better with a living kidney. However, nevertheless, as long as she's got a kidney in, I'm hoping that somewhere down the line there may be an opportunity for her to get that replaced so she can have longevity or have life beyond her mother's. You know, it's a hard decision when one has to go and decide to become a donor. And I say it's a hard decision because when you sit down and think about it, when you turn your driver's license over and check that box, you're really thinking about the future. You're really thinking about, you know, your death. Because in order for this to happen, in order for them to get your kidneys, or in order for you to donate your kidneys on the back of your driver's license, the reason it's there is because just in case you're in an accident, you've given your written approval that they can have your organs. It's a tough decision. Now, some people think it's easy. And listen, I applaud those who are donors. But, you know, it's something that you have to think about, and you think about your own mortality. But bottom line, this story is all about Jordan. We're happy that she's okay, and we'll continue to pray for her. That's my thought, that's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it.
That concludes the 3-minute commentary. Now back to the show.
From From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. After days of violence in Egypt, the military-backed interim government has embarked on a campaign to justify the actions of the security forces against supporters of the deposed Islamist president Mohamed Morsi. Speaking through a BBC interpreter, the foreign minister, Nabil Fahmy, says his government is facing an attempt to undermine the state.
It was meant to terrorize citizens. It was meant to intimidate citizens. It was meant to shake Egypt's foundations. None of these three goals is acceptable, and we will stand up against all these goals in accordance with the law, firmly, strictly, and prudently.
The European Union, meanwhile, says it's the responsibility of the army and the interim government to end the violence that's left nearly 800 people dead since Wednesday. The European Union says it's reviewing relations with Cairo. It's been a violent weekend in Afghanistan. More than two dozen civilians and security forces are dead following a series of attacks across the country. NPR's Sean Carberry reports that nine construction workers and a police officer were killed in one attack in western Afghanistan.
Afghan civilians were employees of an Afghan-German construction company building a highway in western Afghanistan. They had set up their tent next to a police checkpoint for security, but were killed when militants attacked the checkpoint. Officials could not confirm whether the gunmen attacked the tent thinking it was full of police officers. But the Taliban regularly target anyone they consider pro-government, and that includes civilians working on infrastructure projects. Violence dipped slightly during the holy month of Ramadan, which ended a week ago. U.S. military officials expect violence levels to remain high through the duration of the summer fighting season. Sean Carberry, NPR News, Kabul.
In Idaho, authorities hope the weather will cooperate today. Temperatures expected to be cool as a big wildfire near Sun Valley sends columns of smoke above three tourist towns in the region. Additional crews have joined hundreds of firefighters battling the Beaver Creek fire. As Boise State Public Radio's Adam Cotterell reports, it's one of several burning in western states.
The U.S. Forest Service's top official says Idaho's Beaver Creek fire is the highest priority in the nation. That fire threatens the resort towns of Ketchum, Sun Valley, and Haley. Chief Tom Tidwell says other Idaho fires are also near the top of the list.
We also have a fire down in Utah that is getting onto the list. We've had several fires in Oregon. There's another potential one up in Montana that's going to probably be bumping up in priority.
Tidwell says the priority list changes daily. It's based on threats to life and property. States with fires high on the list get more resources, everything from people to planes. The Patch Springs fire threatening the town of Terra, Utah, is in the number two spot. For NPR News, I'm Adam Cotterell in Boise, Idaho.
And you're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Well, folks, another show down. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for spending time with us. It's always a great thing to be able to talk to some of the very best listeners in the world. But it's time for our final thoughts. Ladies are first. Dr. Princess Adia, final thoughts.
Okay. My final thoughts today, I would say that I invite everybody to just experience life from a viewpoint of, this is your life. You have this life to live. And if you want to maximize your opportunities, maximize your rights and freedoms of speech, and just to be able to live happy, I just invite everyone to take consideration for spending time with yourself, taking time to be still, to reverence the moments that you have, the now moment. Don't waste time putting negative energy on things. The best way to make change is to create a vision of the change that you desire and meditate on that. Cause that to be your focus daily. So that's what I'm going to stick with, and I want to thank everyone for listening today. I enjoyed the show. And don't forget to visit me online, bountifulgroup.com, and also Facebook, Dr. Princess Adelia, and Princess Adelia on Twitter, and all those great things. And through the week on the TDRS Radio Network. Love you guys.
Thank you so much. The man gets the first and last word. Mr. Elias, man, final thoughts.
Well, you know, Jay, I'm reading in the chat room, man. I the universe is really getting up under my skin, so I'm going to address this one. Look, I'm an organ donor, and I choose to be an organ donor because if I'm not here in the world, living world. I want somebody else to live on. So when we talk about cynicism and we're talking about the fact that you shouldn't be an organ donor because your heart, they're harvesting organs, then that's nonsense. Look, if I'm not here and somebody can take my, like Lil Jordan could have took my organs and lived on, then God bless them. Because you know something, I've lived my life and I want to give back to somebody. I want to reach back and give back to a part of me still lives here. So when you get with your cynicism as far as don't become an organ donor, you're nuts. And I'm going to leave it at that.
You know, listen, my colleague Ernest is a great guy. I want to make sure that people didn't walk away from this show thinking that Ernest is a racist, because he's not. We love him to death. But one of the things that bothers me about him, and I'll be honest, and I'm pretty sure he knows this, is the fact that his this pure hatred for President Obama. Listen, you may not agree with what the man does, but the bottom line is that for you to, you know, stick your middle finger up at him while he's on television and, you know, call him Barry and all these different things, he's done more for gay people than any president has ever done. So, you know, the next time you're sticking your middle finger up at the president and calling him all these different names, think about all the things he fought for, some of the equality rights that he fought for homosexuality. You know, homosexuality is not a very popular thing in the African-American community. You know, black preachers came out against the president when he talked about supporting the fact that gay people can get married. And where you are on that, that's your opinion. I'll let you have that. But the bottom line is, you know, think about the people that you despise. Think about the people that you call names. Think about the people who are doing more for your folks than any other person in that position in this country's history. And on that note, Mr. Elias, if it's Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, what time is it, my friend?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Rob Show.
All right, folks, listen, have a great work week. Enjoy the remainder of your weekend. So for Dr. Prince's all day, for Jerome is free, and Mr. L.E.S., I'm Jay Ryle. Like the man said, if we're talking serious stuff and it's Sunday, it must be the serious side. We'll see you back here next week. God bless and be safe until we meet again.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.